Just a heads up, the Razzball podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. Okay, we have no idea who's going to be on the show today. There's a chance we might have a special guest. We might have JB. We might have J-Wrong. We definitely don't have Murph, who didn't show up, but Sky did. So who knows what's going on? You know what? We're just going to kind of let it play out and see what happens. Here we go. From the DraftKings.com studio, it's the Razzball Football Podcast for whatever week it is. I don't know that either. You know what? I'm not even going to say here we go. Just start this, Kyle. Start it now.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
NFC Notes.
JB Gilpin, welcome to the Razzball Football Podcast. You can follow JB at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N, on Twitter. JB, I'm out of breath because I'm running between the booth where we tape and the production studio because we were supposed to have a special guest on. So now, just for the record, you're the special guest.
Sweet. I feel special today. I feel like I've thrown 7 touchdowns. I'm just on cloud 9.
Okay, that's good. So apparently Nick Foles didn't realize Halloween had already happened, because what he did was he dressed up like Peyton Manning yesterday and threw 7 touchdowns.
He did. He had a really uncanny performance, looked just like him. It was really, really impressive. Helps your throwing against the Raiders defense, though.
Are you buying Nick Foles for the rest of the season?
This is what the Eagles do to you. They put up all these big games here and there. They suck you in. Then you look at the Eagles' schedule, and it looks really good, and you just get all warm and fuzzy, and, not really.
All right. Listen, our special guest, who no-showed, again, if he happens to call in JB, we're just going to plug him right in, and we're just going to go, okay?
Cool. Yeah, that sounds good.
Or actually, maybe our special guest was Kyle, the super producer, who's also a super Eagles fan.
Is he on the air with us?
No. We have a mechanism that doesn't allow that. We purposely keep Kyle off the air. Just sounds better. Although, you know what?
If only all Eagles fans could be like that.
You know what? Do me a favor. Buy a Powerball ticket or whatever the big lottery is in the U.S., JB, for us this week. Because if we win it, what we're going to do is Kyle and I are going to start doing a daily show together. It's going to be about comics and action figures and Pez dispensers, because if you ever saw a picture of Kyle's office, that's all it is. You'd actually think you were walking into an 8-year-old's bedroom.
That's not creepy. How many Pez dispensers does he have?
Man, there's Pez there's also a Culture Club album. What does that tell you?
But that's way before my time.
You're gonna get Kyle more involved. Kyle, you want to come on this side of the glass? Grab a pair of earphones. And you know what? You can just break down the Eagles for us. All right, JB, we should talk a little bit of football, I suppose, since this is the Razzball Football Podcast. Talk to me about Zach Stacy. He's grinding it out. He's looking kind of like a mini MJD. I still think long-term he's probably not an RB1, but right now he's playing like one.
Yeah.
Are you buying him rest of year? And then also, where are you drafting a guy like Zach Stacy next season?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question. I mean, huge game, 127 yards, 2 touchdowns, got 51 receiving, almost led him in receiving as well. They've got a terrible quarterback in Kellen Clemens, and yet still able to run the ball and did it against, you know, not a great Titans defense, but then last week against a good Seahawks defense. So got to buy it a little bit. Looking ahead at the schedule next week at the Colts. Then you got the Bears coming into town, but then at San Fran and at Arizona. So you like those next two, but then the two after that you don't like. I think you're probably starting them in most leagues, though.
What's going on with the Saints? Usually a model of consistency. It's a little up and down. Not sure who to start. What's your give me a general overview of how you're looking at Saints skill players going forward.
Well, I had a feeling that we're going to really start integrating Sproles more, and he had to leave in the first quarter with a concussion. I think a lot of people, despite, you know, his bad numbers, people, you know, think because of that he's, you know, not a big part of that offense. I think he still is, and the same goes for Colston. I think he's still a useful weapon, even if it doesn't end up on the stat sheet. He didn't play. So it's all Jimmy Graham who's playing on one foot, and then your wide receiving core of Meacham, Moore, and Fields. Your offense is going to struggle, and I think they just weren't ready for the pressure the Jets put on them.
The Seahawks survived a potential upset. We don't need to go too much into their guys, but talk to me about Percy Harvin. Where's he at, and what potential impact could he have going into the fantasy football playoffs?
Well, as we've seen, that Seahawks run defense getting gashed the past 2 weeks by Mike James and then Zach Stacy. So that defense has been shaky. Richard Sherman's obviously playing elite, but that defense is not going to make games, you know, 17-3 anymore. So they're going to use Harvin. I mean, Doug Baldwin just came off a game with 10 targets. So I think Percy Harvin needs to be owned in all leagues. I probably wouldn't start him his first game back, but if he looks good in that first game, probably starting him after that.
You mentioned Mike James. Let's talk about him rest of season. Is he going to get quarterback eligibility?
That's a good question. Did throw a touchdown. Next thing you know, he'll be throwing seven. Another decent game. The Bucs, you know, they're not terrible. They're in games. I mean, they obviously haven't won yet, but he's a questionable flex, but I think you're more optimistic about it now than you were before.
Okay. What about Vincent Jackson?
I'm just happy I got a call right. I think he had, I don't have it in front of me, he had 2 for 11, so I called him a bench. I knew Sherman was going to be all over him. He's the only guy that's had any sort of consistency since Mike Glennon took over. That was going to be part of the Seahawks' game plan, is to do everything they could to limit him, and they did. So.
Washington Redskins, Darryl Young, big game. It was a good game. It was a fun game to watch. Kind of tough to start, I don't want to say anybody there. It's been a year in fantasy football where, you know, other than when Peyton or Nick Foles are throwing 7 touchdowns, it's tough to kind of figure out who to start and sit. And I think the Redskins might be the toughest team with that. Just tell me, weed through the mess there for me.
Well, I kind of disagree a little bit. I think Alfred Morris.
Oh, putting me in my place. I'm excited.
Alfred Morris, I mean, he's a good back. He had another good game, 121 yards and a touchdown. I think you're starting Pierre Garçon every week. He had another huge game. I think Jordan Reed is a low-end starter tight end. He's someone that is one of those question mark coin flips. But and then RG3, if you have him, you probably don't have a better quarterback. Yeah, he's been iffy, but I still feel pretty comfortable with him. But Morris and Garçon, they're every week starters.
Okay, I've been put in my place. Your Panthers, another win. Let me just ask you, aside from fantasy, are they a real team? I mean, I know it's hard for you to look at it objectively, but what's your take on the Panthers going forward as a team, aside from fantasy outlook?
Rebuild the defense, and Ron Rivera's completely had. You know, he didn't want to come in with this gunslinging action that Cam had when they first came. It's just because the defense was so bad. Now the defense is rebuilt, looks great. Going back to the roots with the running game, Three good running backs now with Jonathan Stewart back. Effectively makes them all not fantasy worthy. But Cam doesn't need to throw as much, so he's not having the fantasy year I expected. I just didn't think our defense was going to be this good, and it's just been phenomenal.
You think they got a chance to make a run to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Falcons are terrible in the division. The Bucks are terrible in the division. The whole NFC East is a joke, so it's just going to be between, you know, the Bears and Panthers is kind of the wild, and Lions. Those are pretty much the only wild card teams.
The Cowboys survived a scare. Terrence Williams only 2 for 33 on 7 targets. I still really like him going forward. I think he's a legitimate, really high upside wide receiver, especially in keeper and dynasty formats. What do you think he can do rest of season?
I think he'll be, you know, ranked in the 20s of wide receivers most weeks. He was probably ranked above that. I don't have Sky's ranks in front of me because there were 16 on bye this week. But a solid guy. I completely agree with you. Like you said, he did have the 7 targets. So, yeah, it was kind of a down game. But I still think he's almost an every week starter. Kind of interestingly, Cole Beasley with 6 for 68 on 9 targets. I think that was just kind of a function of the game. Dwayne Harris gets the game-winning touchdown. I think those are just kind of how the game went. So I'd be pretty confident with Williams going forward.
Now, JB, you're in the Triangle in North Carolina, correct?
That is correct.
Are you the only guy without an MBA or at least a 4-year college degree in that whole area? Because there's a lot of smart people in the Triangle, right?
I'm not the only one, but I get the jab. I get it. Do you have an MBA?
No. I couldn't even come up with an acronym there on the spot. No, you went to movie school? I went to radio school.
They don't give those
go
away.
Go Hummer College.
Well, once you guys get some TVs and some video equipment.
Hey, the guy who ran the radio program when I was there, his name was Disco Joe. I think that's all you need to know about my education. Although, actually, I don't know if you...
Disco Joe and Nick hanging out.
I don't know if you realize this,
JB,
but actually, Kyle, the super producer, and I went to college together.
Oh, wow. So none of his... you guys are hanging out in the dorm watching the Eagles game, and you didn't become an Eagles fan?
No, we lived off campus. Kyle lived down the street from me, and what we would do is play a lot of PlayStation and smoke a lot. I drink a lot of beer. Of course, the drinking age here is 19 in Ontario. So, but no, that's how I know Kyle. Humber College, go Hawks!
PlayStation was out when you were in college. I thought it was more like Atari back then.
We were playing Pong and drinking whiskey out of barrels. True story. It's not a Canadian university or college education if you don't drink whiskey out of barrels.
Or play Pong right. While doing it.
I'm off topic. Let's get back real quick. Anything you want to touch on the Falcons players? I mean, Ryan looked awful. Steven Jackson, is he maybe a buy low?
Yeah, I think so. I thought he looked pretty good. Averaged 4 a carry, and that was in a game where, as you said, Matt Ryan looked awful. They had no receivers. They were trying to throw the ball to Gonzalez every play. So despite all that, Jackson actually was okay. So I had actually looked to buy him well. I mean, the people are going to be giving him away.
So the reason I brought up North Carolina a couple minutes ago, I'm thinking about buying a used Honda Civic, and I want to do a state-by-state tour and get a bumper sticker for every state that we hit, excuse me, and just, you know, cover the car with, you know, show me. Or the show me state, you know, when I go to Missouri, as an example. If we did this and I came down with, let's say, a microphone or one of those old school interview microphones, and we really brought the podcast to the next level.
Yeah.
What do we eat in North Carolina? I know we've had this discussion before. You talked about grits. We know about the gravy and biscuits. But what's the one thing I got to eat if I come to the Triangle?
You got to get some barbecue here, man.
No. You know why? And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm sure the barbecue is outstanding. But that's more of a when I go to Kansas City or Houston, we'll eat barbecue. I need something more distinct to the region.
I mean, that's just all your southern cooking. How about some chicken and waffles?
No. Again, I'm going to save that for a place that, you know, specializes in chicken and waffles. That might be an L.A. thing.
L.A.? What about Atlanta?
Buddy Roscoe's. Come on, didn't you watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Again, that was before my time. That's what you had to flip to when you were playing your Atari Pong game.
Real quick, let's wrap this up. Bears and Packers. Eddie Lacy is a boss. His toes are not. His toes are like entry-level minimum wage salary employees, but as a whole, he's a boss.
His toes are like Beast from X-Men.
I don't get it. I guess I have to go to movie school to get the reference.
Yeah, you have to go to movie school to see, you know, actual movies, because they only have radio there in Canada.
Listen, we still actually communicate by smoke signal.
That would work, except for we have so much pollution here. Everything's a smoke signal.
All right, real quick, tonight, what are we looking at?
James Jones, he's questionable. Everything's pointing to him playing, but as we saw with Arian Foster last night, anything can happen. So if you have Jones plugged in, you better have Miles White or someone to put in there. And then a guy I actually like for this game is Josh McCown. I'm playing him in one league where it's just bye weeks and injuries. But, you know, he's throwing to three guys that are all like 6'5 to 6'7 with Bennett, Jeffrey, and Marshall. So kind of tough to miss them. And he's a competent quarterback. I think he has a pretty good game. Dump off to Forte, all of the above.
How come guys with our size, you know, like 6'3 to 6'8, how do we not have jobs as professional wide receivers?
Well, hey, I'm not fast at all. But I was pretty good at flag football in the red zone. Just lob it up there.
Hold on. Kyle, can you cut that piece right out? And we're going to put that on an infinite loop. We're going to hack into JB's cell phone. Hello, you've reached JB. I'm not fast at all.
That's what I tell the ladies, too.
I can't do this anymore. I can't. You know what time of day it is? It's time for
the Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Follow them on Twitter at DraftKings, the only place to go for your daily fantasy sports fix. DraftKings.com. JB, here's the thing. You and I had a discussion last week because we were playing in over at DraftKings. Someone was hurt. You didn't know if he was going to start or not. And at the last minute, you subbed him out. And you can do that at DraftKings. You can always move a guy in or out until his game starts. Only daily platform, you can do that. Not that there's any other daily platform.
Yeah, it's a great feature. Hopefully you aren't picking guys that are too questionable out there. But
Wait. A great feature? You went to movie school. This is a spectacular feature. Outstanding feature.
Those are aspects that you get from English writing school, not from movie school. I only know how to make pictures.
Okay.
I don't know words.
So what's happening at DraftKings?
Well, we're all still ramping up for the Week 17 Millionaire Challenge. So the top winner in the Week 17 contest, that's their kind of big contest they're all ramping for all year, becomes a millionaire, the top winner. So I'm trying to win my way up in some satellite contests. Hasn't been going so well, but
so
there's always next week.
Some of the things that I'm looking at coming up for this week, there's some really good matchups that I like. Do you want to get in on a tournament together again this week?
Yeah, let's do it. You want to do the dollar one again, or do you want a high roll?
No, you know what? Let's do one where we do steps, because I want to try and qualify for the $1 million tournament.
Yeah, me too. That sounds like a really good idea.
Okay, can we do this, JB? I'm going to put this on you. Can you find us a tournament or a steps tournament where we can start this week aiming for the $1 million, and then we'll tweet that out together, and we're going to see how many people we can get to join us.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'll put that as the link in the DraftKings article, which will come out Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'll be sure to text you and let you know it, and we'll get as many Razzball players in as we can get.
Okay, but I want in on this one because I really want a shot at this $1 million. I'm telling you, my rolling Honda Civic idea, all kinds of upside.
You might be able to actually buy a Hyundai instead.
How does this show not have a compact car sponsor?
With plugs like that.
JB, pleasure as always. Thanks for joining us on the Razzball Football Podcast. Get out of here.
Thanks, Ben. Have a good one.
The Razzball Podcast.
So typically on a Monday, we have Murph call in with a carnage report. Apparently the carnage was Murph having too many light beers somewhere in San Diego. So I think what we're trying to do here, I think because culturally Razzball is so ingrained with baseball, it's become kind of a platoon. You know, Murph goes in against lefties and Sky comes in against righties or something like that. So here we go. Sky's got your waiver wire pickup.
Oh, please hit me, Sky. Please, pretty please. You have seen me from behind, haven't you?
Hey everyone, this is Sky. You can follow me at Sky_Razzball on Twitter. And I'm here to give you some pickups for the next week and beyond from your free agent pool. First up, we've got Case Keenum, 9% owned. I would have told you to pick him up last week, but I was on hiatus. The matchup in Week 10 isn't very appealing, but his rest of season schedule doesn't look bad at all. He's a great 2 QB league pickup, or a good pickup if you're dealing with a struggling starter like, say, a Matt Ryan. Next up, Jason Campbell, 10% owned. Again, this is 2 QB love here. But Campbell has been a poor man's Hoyer in his two starts, which is still a richer man than being Whedon. Since the Browns are heading into a bye, you probably don't have to jump on this right away, but if you have the roster room, he's a good addition, especially for a 2 QB league. Riley Cooper, 9% owned. And I'm not saying this to brag, but I've owned Cooper in one league for about 4 weeks. He has a great chemistry with Foles, which they showed last year, and they've only developed it further this year. I wouldn't expect the crazy line that he dropped on Sunday moving forward at all, but he should definitely be good for solid stats. If you're looking for upside in your WR4 on your bench, pick him up. Next up, Aaron Dobson. Yes, please, and thank you. He'll still be the third or fourth option in the Pats offense, but today was a good sign the Pats offense is turning it around, which means pretty much anyone is almost viable as long as they're getting targets. Rashad Jennings, 6% owned. Oh, look, everyone, DMC got hurt. Shocker. I could tell you about his schedule and how good it is, but you don't care. You just need an RB like everyone else, so go get Rashad. Sean Green, I called him by on the site a couple of weeks ago. Clearly you didn't listen. He's still only 16% owned. They're going to keep him involved in Tennessee as they're one of the dying breed of ground-and-pound teams left. Dennis Johnson, 0% owned. Deep league play here. It's unknown the severity of Foster's injury moving forward and Tate's playing with rib parts floating inside of him. DJ looked good on Sunday night, good enough to get more reps if the Texans need him. And last up is Fozzie Whitaker, 1% owned. I really have zero reason to tell you to do this. It's strictly a gut call. But I have a funny feeling after the bye, he'll be more involved with the game plan moving forward. And at the very least, you get to smile when you look down and see that name on your bench. So, and with that, I'm out. Talk to y'all later. Peace.
AFC Notes.
Joined now by Jay Wrong. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Wrong. Jay, welcome to the Razzball Football Podcast for whatever the heck week it is in fantasy football.
Thanks for having me, as usual.
Yeah, you show up. You know, I'm not going to go into my diatribe again about showing up as 50% of success, but you show up, Jay, and I give you credit for that, especially because you're so emoed up and you're very sad, but you still wake up early on Mondays, you prep for the show, and you show up.
Yes, I am the constant leaf in the wind. I am the target of your heart. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. It sounds kind of corny now.
So we were supposed to have a special guest today. He didn't show. We were supposed to have Murph come on with the Carnage Report. He didn't show. So, you know, luckily you and I are here, Jay. I kind of feel like I should hug you right now.
Yes, I am your special guest, Ben.
You're very special, Jay, on so many levels.
It sounds like love is in the air.
Okay. Love is in the air. It's like I'm working on cruise ships again.
I mean, JB's good too, right? I mean, he always he gets good credit. He's always around with me. So we form the sandwich, and you are the meat in between our sandwiches. So
I am the meat. So, no, you know what? That's why you guys are the regular contributors, because who else can I rely on at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning? I'm just kidding. You're here because of your hard-hitting high-impact fantasy football information.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I am.
Jay, please break down why Case Keenum is the end of Matt Schaub.
Yes. Well, I mean, what can you say about Matt Schaub this year that, you know, hasn't already been said about Afghanistan? So, what we saw last night was...
What?
What we saw last night, I mean, I don't know if you watched the Sunday Night Football game, but Case Keenum looked legitimate. I mean, this is now the second game in which he looked very good. He can push the ball down the field. Now, in the first game he played against Denver, he did a great job keeping the Texans in the game. They did a lot better than I think a lot of people thought they would. And I think last night, even though they lost, was a confirmation that they probably won't have to spend a draft pick next year on a QB. He looks like a guy who can lead this team. This affects Andre Johnson owners. They can rejoice now that maybe he wasn't, you know, a second wide receiver trap anymore. There aren't any more pick sixes to the other team, it looks like. So it's something to monitor, but I throw him in the category of maybe like a Nick Foles, you know, a young guy who takes over for a bit and could help your team.
I'm just a little uneasy with these University of Houston quarterbacks. I mean, who was the last great QB out of Houston? I'm sure there's more, but wasn't David Klingler out of there? And then that guy who was with the Lions in the 90s, Andre something, didn't he win a Heisman?
I wasn't even aware
Andre
that he
Ware.
Had any kind of scholastic institution. So you had me there.
Hey, Houston's a nice place if you like humidity and the occasional potential hurricane coming through.
I have never been to Texas. I refuse to go to a place where they have truck nuts and still wear cowboy hats. I mean, I think I drove through Amarillo once just, you know, as I was driving cross country, and that was enough Texas for me. I mean, literally, the bugs there are bigger than my head. I wouldn't be able to do it there at all.
But it's because you're petite. That's why you're so huggable.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm petite, but Texas, you know, I'm not going to get political here, but I'm not into the whole Texas thing.
Okay, see, I think any state that could pretty much secede at any point, because they probably have more guns than the rest of the country and more oil, you know what, I'm not going to mess with them.
Yeah, but that's the thing, like, I don't really believe in a state who calls themselves the real Americans yet wants to secede from America. It boggles the mind how much sense that makes.
Well, they could rename themselves America 2.0.
Yes, with truck nuts.
Listen.
I mean, have you seen those? Those are so disgusting. Like, they're literally like, you know, white testicles on a truck. Like, who would do such a thing? I mean, it's just, anyhow, we can...
Jay, you live in Virginia. It's not like you live in Minnesota.
Right, but there are no truck nuts here. There's like a Confederate flags on trucks. I mean, that's just as egregious because, you know, I'm sorry, guys, you sort of lost the war. Why the hell would you be bragging about it? But I mean, it's a little less.
You know what? I'm just going to cut you off, Jay. We're not even going to get that deep. This is a fantasy football show. Let's stick to there's great jalapeno sausages available in Austin, Texas.
There you go.
All right. Let's stay Midwest. And I know Texas is the Midwest. The Reggie Wayne effect. I'm just going to make that statement. The Reggie Wayne effect. Go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Colts passing game looks a little lost since the death of Reggie Wayne. And, you know, obviously he didn't die.
He didn't actually die, people.
Right.
He's
he's out for the season. So, I mean, T.Y. Hilton looks like to be the guy now. He had a 3-TD game last night. You'll see probably increased targets to Colby Fleener, Darius Heyward-Bey, which probably isn't a good thing because that means more drops. And then I guess Griff Whalen is in there somewhere. You know, I'm not sure if this group, as the season progresses, can elevate Andrew Luck enough to, you know, keep him as a top QB. Now, last night he did have over 250 yards with 3 touchdowns, but, you know, how much of it came from the fact that Texans basically collapsed after their coach did. I don't know, you know, how much of an effect that had on the team. Of course, I hope Kubiak's okay as a side note, but the Colts going forward, their passing attack, it does worry me a little bit because it looks pretty sluggish for the most part. Luck, he did 18 for 40, which is not good. It's not a Luck type of night. So I'm a little bit worried. The time was to sell him was probably a little bit earlier, but... You know, I would be worried if I was a Luck owner at this point.
Speaking of quarterbacks, this wasn't widely reported yesterday, but apparently after the Browns game, Jason Campbell went to hospital and he has a case of Norvitis. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, I mean, legitimately, he does. There's a rib injury at play here. After the game, I guess Campbell said that based on his experience, they weren't broken. But you know, we'll probably get the results of the X-rays later today. But again, this is the second game in which he's looked like a good quarterback. You know, he had over 250 yards, 3 touchdowns. So in 2 starts now, he's thrown for over 500 yards with 5 touchdowns and no interception, which, you know, first of all, it's amazing since it's for a Browns team that nobody thought was any good, but they look average, which is, you know, a victory in itself. But it looks like Campbell is doing a great job in Norv's offense. And, you know, say what you want about Norv Turner. You know, I've always been a fan of him, even, you know, as a coach. But as an offensive coordinator, he's a good one. So this may be a match. I would keep my eyes on it. You know, if you need a QB to fill in somewhere, I might, if he's healthy, of course, I might take a chance here.
Is there, and there probably is, but is there any franchise more kind of meh than the Tennessee Titans? They're never good enough to be really good. They're never bad enough to be really bad. And they probably need a whole uniform redesign. But the running game looked pretty good last week.
Yeah, I mean,
It almost looked like, you know, we need a new nickname for Chris Johnson, like CJ October, early November, 2013 K.
Yeah, whatever the acronym you can make on that is. I thought it was great. I mean, it came a little bit late. We're like in week 9, I guess, and they finally got a good running effort, which, you know, like you said, the Titans have been sort of an average team. They make the playoffs once every couple years, and they just kind of, you know, float away in the first round, and they're never really horribly bad, but they're never really elite. But things you can depend on them for is a gritty defense and a running game. And so far this year, Sean Green was supposed to tandem with Chris Johnson. And, you know, that hasn't come to fruition yet because Sean Green was injured and Chris Johnson, you know, has looked pretty terrible. But the thing I liked most about yesterday is Johnson had runs of 24 yards, 23 yards, 19 yards, 18 yards, 15 yards. So he's making those long runs. He's getting past the 10-yard per carry mark, 150 yards on the day. And Sean Green got in there and did the short yardage work. So maybe this partnership looks like it can be worked. Now, you know, some people could say, well, did the Titans run well because they ran a lot, or did they run well because they ran well? I mean, I know it sounds kind of strange, that statement, but, you know, it could be that they came the ball. But
yeah, it does.
Yeah. But you have to remember, St. Louis, they have a pretty good defense. I mean, they did this to not a bad defense. I mean, it's not like they're running against the Saints or something. So I would hope for more of this. I might pick up Sean Green as, you know, a bye week guy. I mentioned him a couple weeks ago. He got a TD as well, so he's going to be kind of the grunt guy. And, you know, hopefully it's a sign of things to come for all the Chris Johnson owners.
I don't want to get all kind of, you know, mythological on you. But Gronkowski, I'm going to start calling him Achilles. Because he comes back, looks phenomenal. And then he's limping on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries you always have to worry about, especially with Gronk. I mean, when you talk about tight ends, there is Jimmy Graham and there is Gronk. And that's pretty much it. That's your two guys. The rest are kind of just, you know, hovering around. Everyone looked good yesterday, of course. I mean, Pittsburgh does not look like the team we grew up watching. You know, this is the year where it looks like they're just too old. Now, Brady looked amazing. I'm sure he helped you out in the Riders League for once this year. Ridley looks great, coming off a week where he only got 20 snaps. He played in a season high 51 snaps, and we saw the results of that: 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. It was his first 100-yard game of the year, which is great. And of course, there's Gronk, who finished 9 receptions and 143 yards. It's obvious that Gronk needs Brady to be Brady, and Brady needs Gronk to be Gronk. And that's probably the most obvious statement ever. But, again, to go back to the Titans running game, hopefully this is a sign of things to come. I don't see why they wouldn't do this again. You know, if Brady's healthy and if Gronk can stay healthy, this is something that we should continually see as a season. Now, it was a long wait, but, you know, this is something that has to keep going, and it should.
Let's wrap this up with the Jets, the possibly playoff-bound Jets. Any fantasy targets on that team?
Yeah, there's two I like. Now, the first one is kind of strange in that I actually like the Jets' defense. Now, they were shredded by Andy Dalton last week, true, but they did a great job against the Saints, only limited them to two field goals in the second half. Drew Brees kind of had an off-and-on day, only two touchdowns, but with two interceptions. But I like them going on, going forward, because the rest of the season, they don't go against any top 15 offenses. So in the final seven games, I think you could pick them up and be sort of a match play, see what you like, but there are no good offenses going against them. Now, the second guy I like, of course, is Chris Ivory. I thought, you know, preseason and during the season, I've mentioned a lot of times on the podcast that Bilal Powell was the guy to own, but Ivory is looking good. He looks like to be the power back that they need. Again, another 100-yard game with a touchdown. And they have to give him the ball. I mean, the receiving core looks terrible right now, and I don't see any guys that you want there. Maybe David Nelson. I mentioned him a couple times. He's maybe an under-the-radar guy, deep league guy, but it looks like they're just going to run, and hopefully their defense holds, and they might be playoff bound. But, you know, as for fantasy, those are probably the two things you want to look at.
Jay, I just want to mention this before we wrap up. I haven't seen a Jennifer Lawrence GIF from you in a while, and I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah.
But let me throw something out there for creative purposes, just to try and inspire you. Sheer yoga pants. GIF. Make it happen.
Yeah, I'll try my best. You know, I only do GIFs during baseball. And really quick, to plug the baseball side, if you guys want to head on over with Gray on his Honolulu, which is what I call his honeymoon in Honolulu, I, along with the other writers, have kind of taken over the site, and we'll be posting some interesting stuff. Rudy is coming out with a great historical fantasy post the next 2 weeks, and I'll be holding down the fort over there with some posts, too. So come on over to the baseball side for a little off-season magic.
Okay, good stuff. Tanya, GIF, make it happen. By the way, congratulations to Gray Albright, who finally married the Cougar on Saturday in some exotic locale, where he was all dressed in white, drinking a daiquiri. You're on top of it today, Jay. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What a special guest. You're so special.
Too special.
Yeah, but you're special to me. All right, get out of here. Thanks for joining us on the Razzball Football Podcast. We'll be back next week. Hopefully we'll have a full lineup. I'm telling you, next year, this is going to be like 10 times better. You're all fired. Get out of here. Bye.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It might even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help?
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour bus. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.